Welcome to Mama Tales, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. Before we start this episode, I want to put out a disclaimer. If you want to get queasy, consider this a warning for what's coming ahead. In my line of work, I get to hear a lot of motherhood stories, but I have to admit I haven't heard of any experience that has been similar to the story I'm going to be sharing with you now. In this episode, we will listen to Frida, a mom who suffered one of the worst cases of breast engorgement that I've ever had. Here's a bit of what's coming up.
The doctor he didn't even touch my breast. He just saw it. This one needs an admission. Me, I was shocked. I had gotten an infection through the nipple crack, and that infection had become excess. He came and pressed my breast so bad with a warm towel, and my husband was, I know that day he really did feel it for me because I was cramped. You know, the nurse was not feeling any pity. I didn't know that I'd end up in a theater because of engorgement.
So that story is coming up in a bit, but before we get there, I want to share a comment from one of our listeners from Spotify that was left after the previous episode, as well as the highlight of the week. This little nugget of time where we look back at the past week to moments that brought us joy. It's always amazing reading comments or thoughts that you have after listening to an episode. They really go a long way in helping me understand the impact of the stories that are shared here. This week, Mukuhe said that Gina's episode was so insightful. She goes on to write, "I am raising my littles in a really unstable environment, and this has given me something to think about." In our episode, Gina talks about experiencing emotional neglect because of the unstable home that she was raised in. And I think that really allowed a lot of us to think critically about the home we're raising our own kids in. Thanks for sharing that with us, and I do hope that you'll be able to sort it out in the best way that you can. My highlight this week will be really quick. I believe last week I mentioned that I'll be hosting an event on co-parenting with a family lawyer, Ivy Kathungu. She featured on episode 48 during the Holiday Survival Guide. Well, this past week, we have received over 800 registrations for the event. And those registrations came with over 700 questions that we need to tackle during the event. To say that I'm overwhelmed is a huge understatement, but in a good way. Never in a million years would I ever think that 800 people would sign up for this. I mean, to be honest, I was definitely reaching out for 40. But it does show you the power of networks. A big thanks has to go to Murugi Munyi, one of the hosts of the TMI podcast. She really pushed a lot of our followers my way, so I'm very grateful to be able to open up this platform to all of you. I am busy at work trying to make sure that the event goes on without a hitch and proves to be very beneficial to all that need this information. If you haven't registered yet, please do. This is a virtual event taking place on the 1st of February that will dig deep into co-parenting, child maintenance, and everything that comes with shared custody. Registering is one of the best ways to ensure that you do not miss out on it. So head on over to the link in the show notes of this episode to register. Or you can even just go check out the website. That's mamatillspodcast.com/events for more. If you have a highlight to share, please let me know. There is a form attached in the show notes. And you can also tell me what you think about an episode. Share your thoughts about it and any ideas that you had when you're listening to it. When you listen to this podcast on Spotify Mobile. All right, let's dig into Frida's story. A quick heads up, she had her son with her when we recorded, which is always welcome. I love seeing or hearing babies when I record, and our connection wasn't the best, so some words are muffled, but I did try my best to make it work and clean it up. My advice, listen to it with headphones and listen to it all at once. When her firstborn girl turned 8, Frida felt like this was the right time to have another baby. Her daughter had already started asking questions because all her friends wondered why she did not have a sibling. Frida also knew that she wasn't getting any younger. So they decided to try for another child and she got pregnant.
One thing I'd say is please don't wait for that long because the body tends to forget. It was okay, but there were challenges. Mostly I was tired, I was fatigued, and everything seemed strange to me because I'm a bit older. It took a toll on me in terms of being tired.
But she pushed through, and soon it was time to deliver her son. This delivery was very different from her first, and this was something she was not prepared for. She had had her daughter vaginally, but she ended up needing an emergency C-section for her son.
So what happened, I was late. This day where you give birth is called the D-Day. My due date, I was late. That day, I wasn't feeling my child. I could not feel him as I did before these other days. So I had to go to the hospital and just to be safe, because I've had stories where your child is not moving the way they're supposed to move and it doesn't end well. And I was taken straight to the scan, and after being scanned, I was told the placenta is old. It's not providing enough nutrients and oxygen for the child. That's why he has movement. And I needed an induction. Yeah, so admitted, and I was to be induced late that night at 12 a.m. Fast forward the next day, contractions had not started. I remember his dad coming in the morning, and we walked around the hospital for like 2 hours for my contractions to come. They still didn't come. Checked the heartbeat. It was very slow, that I had to be sent again for another scan. The heartbeat was there, but from far. Let's wait. Let's give it a few more hours, like an hour or so, and then if nothing else happens, we are going to put you at the second. It's a tablet. Immediately after that, let's say like after 30 minutes, my watchers broke and we had to check, and it turned out that he had pooped. And it's understandable because you see, this child is already tired. I didn't believe it when they told me, now this means yes. So they told me, okay, you go back to your room. Once you see the green substance that we are seeing. No, they asked, are you seeing the green substance? I think you have to confirm so that you don't go to them and say that they talked things that are not for them to operate on. So they had to ask me. I said, I'm not seeing any green thing. I'm just seeing brown. So I was told, okay, you go back to your room. Once you see green, you come and tell us. I didn't even reach. I registered it. You know, the tires are white, so the water was dripping, and as it drips, I'd see now, yeah, this is actually green.
Once she confirmed that she saw the meconium, the nurses started to prepare her for her surgery. She panicked, watching all those tubes go inside her, nurses running around, papers being brought to her to sign, all while enduring never-ending contractions for a child who doesn't need them to get out. Eventually, she had her surgery and her baby was born.
Gotten my child, and I've stayed for 4 days in hospital, as it should be, and I'm back home. So now we start dealing with breastfeeding. As I said, I've never had a problem with low supply of milk. So my milk started coming, so much of it, and the baby is small, so he could not finish the milk. I got nipple crack on that particular boob. I don't know if the latching was the problem. So I think after 5 days, that's when my boob started swelling. Me thought it was milk that was a lot. It was milk because I remember I pumped a lot. The pain didn't go away. So I thought if I tackle this problem the same way I tackled last time 8 years ago, I'll be fine. That is where I went wrong. I didn't seek medical attention.
With her first baby, oversupply was an issue. She was producing more milk than her body could handle, but a few home remedies seemed to solve it. She thought the same remedies would work this time too.
So with warm compression, where you dip a cold towel in hot water, and then you compress your breast with a warm compress. Yeah, that is how I think. That's how everyone does it. So that's what I used to do, and I did that 1, 2, 3. I think 4 days, the pain will not go away, and I'd keep doing that. So I just wish I went to the hospital instead of treating myself.
In spite of the pain, she had to continue feeding her son, all while hoping the warm compresses would offer her some relief eventually.
Yes, I had to breastfeed, because if you don't breastfeed, the milk keeps coming. You know, the milk keeps coming and it won't stop. And the more the milk comes down, the more the pain. It was, remember I have a nipple crack? No, remember now I'm engorged. So the pain was unbearable, but I had, and this baby's latch, they latch on like a leech. So I remember I'd tell everyone in the room, do not look at me. Don't look at me. So I'd prepare. And tell everyone, please look away before life, because oh my god, that pain, it was horrible. But now you see, I'd hesitate to feed him on that breast. I'd mostly feed him on this other one that was better. That's another idea. Actually, I didn't get to a point. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I knew I'd put myself and I'd get well, because there's this day, now I decided to take antibiotics, fluoxacillin, that's what it's called, and yeah, it does help. Now it was too late for me, those ones could not help. So it got worse that I had to go to hospital. I reached that 2 weeks appointment where now you wait for the baby to be checked and the mother. After my baby was checked, now I talked about the engorgement. The doctor he didn't even touch my breast. He just saw it. This one needs an admission. Me, I was shocked. I've gone to just this two-week normal clinic. I thought they'll just tell me, prescribe some more medicine. I was told now this one means an admission, and not even an admission of 1 day or two. 5 days. 5 days, why? Because I had to be given the antibiotics IV, because now only those ones would work. I had gotten an infection through the nipple crack, and that infection had become excess. Only that kind of treatment will help. I broke down at the doctor's office. Now they start again putting me more needles. I cried, because I'm like, I'm not going home. I have a 2 week old. I'm going back to the hospital, to the wards again. How? As in, yeah, I was told by the doctor that after those 5 days, the infection will go down. I had to get admitted with him because he was 2 weeks old. He was very small. No one else would have managed to take care of him. I had not found milk, because me, I didn't know that somewhere I was going to be needed to be away from. So yeah, so I get admitted. I'm still not believing it. Again, his dad comes around with whatever I need. And I remember him packing my bag, and I'm just there quiet and with teary eyes. Because I couldn't imagine 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Mind you, I'm still in pain. The pain has not gone away. It's still there. This whole time, even while I was bending, because even I'm swollen. So I'm bending. I'm looking at other people and you know, like mostly moms. And I'm like, are you happy or not in pain? I wish I could do. Now, the first day, they'd come and give me antibiotics thrice a day, where putting that medicine through your veins, the pain, because you know, they'd put in the morning, in the evening, and they are pushing it through your vein. It reached a point, vein got bruised. They had to change and now put the injection on another side. Breastfeeding the baby was hard because of that needle. It would be painful putting the, you know, you'd feel the medicine going through the vein. So it was also traumatic. And let me tell you what was frustrating is that the pain was not going away. So I'd call my close family and I'd cry on the phone and I'm like, what's going on? I'm still in pain. I'm not from there. Remember now four times. Already I've been done. They'd wake me up even at 5. Pain is still there. The second day I was frustrated to the core because there's no improvement and I came here to be given this medicine and I'm getting worse. No, the third day now I complained. I remember I called his dad and I cried and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Come to the hospital, tell them something. It's either that or I just get out of this hospital and I just go to this where they'll work, they'll treat me. So he came with his cousin and I remember I even had them complaining and asking why is there no improvement, what's happening. Then the nurses were like, she should compress herself. And I can't. I just couldn't. Yeah. So they talked to the head nurse. That's when the head nurse came. She came and pressed my breast so bad with a warm towel. And my husband was like, I know that day he really did feel it for me because I scrambled. You know, the nurse was not feeling any pity. I scrambled. But again, I think I'm thankful for that because if she didn't do that, an abscess would not have formed because after that, that's when now I formed an abscess. There was a depression. You know, she has removed, there's bad milk and all that. She has removed. So now what remained is the where the infection had now stabilized and that's where the abscess. So actually the medicine was working, the antibiotics were working, just that I've not seen it because the antibiotics are the ones that caused the, I think they were pushing the infection out, but now the infection was too much that it just couldn't disappear. Yeah, so I remember now after the nurse saw that, she was like, let's talk tomorrow. I think she knew it was a surgery, but she didn't tell me. So it was sort of like, watch her, let's see, to patane kesho. Yeah, so I slept with the problem again the next day again. The pain is still there. The pain is normally still there. My mom was there, my husband was there. And we were told that now there needs to be done a surgery on me. I feel like this is information that I don't know why people don't talk about this. I didn't know that I'd end up in a theater because of engorgement. I feel sad that it's not talked about enough. And now this one leads to people to such kind of things. Because if I went earlier, the hospital, and if I took those antibiotics earlier, I would not have gotten there. Because let me tell you, after surgery, I still got another infection, the same. But now I knew better, and I went. I'd have gotten another surgery again. Yeah. So I remember the nurses, they stood me. They were like, "Oh my God!" They came. They asked, "Isn't there any other way that this can be done, because we've had a lady who was here?" And I remember my mom saying, please don't listen to them because everyone's different. Because me, they were making me super scared. They're like, is it now? As we are waiting for the surgeon to come and check on me, that's when the head nurse is like, isn't there any other way? Frida, have you tried to compress properly? Because we normally don't want it to reach to an extent where you're having a surgery, because we have seen the experience. There's a lady who came here, she was cut both breasts. It reached a point we had to tell her to stop breastfeeding now and just use formula. You have to go through dressing. Because the dressing part is what was scaring me the most. Because I can't imagine. They were like, and then you have to be washed inside, put things. Me, I was so scared. But I didn't want to know. And then my mom was encouraging me so much. She was like, you'd rather go through this and not go through the pain that you already had seen. So me, I didn't, it was like, I was scared, but I didn't mind, because as long as the pain goes away, because at that point, that's the pain you even, you don't wish anyone on that, for anyone, that kind of pain. That makes you even wonder, why am I living? Because, wow. So Dr. Kanina comes in and he says, Frida, hi, how are you? Let's see. Then he saw and he asked for a needle with a syringe to show us what exactly he's going to remove. He was, I didn't feel the pain. He removed pus and showed us, showed my husband, my mom, do you see? This is very bad. This requires emergency and this requires surgery, without a doubt. So we were told, you pay this amount upfront, then we don't eat anything for 2 hours. I'd not even eaten. But yeah, I don't eat anything. So I was due for surgery in the next 2 hours. Now I'm waiting for surgery. Hakuna story ingine. Then I'm called after another 2 hours. And then they fixed formula for him so that he can have, I'm in the theater room. Was the traumatizing part for me, where I was told I was given a general anesthesia. Yeah, I didn't want it, because how am I going to sleep? What if I don't wake up? Why? And I remember signing so many things because of that. So, and then I was dressed into theater clothes. My son was left with my mom and his dad in my room, where I was. And I remember walking while I was crying. Again, I'm crying while I'm asking the nurse, what if I don't wake up?
They were able to calm her down, put her under, and perform the surgery. The surgery itself took 2 hours, but it felt like minutes for Frida, who was knocked out. She came to in the recovery room and felt a huge bandage on her breast.
When I woke up, they called my name, Frida, are you okay? They asked me a few questions to see if I'm ready to be taken to the ward. Yeah, so now I went, I met again my mom, my husband, my son. They were waiting for me. Yeah, and I remember them asking me, hi, how are you feeling? Me, I was just feeling like I'm drunk, like, you know, lightheaded. But the pain was gone. Here comes now the another challenge, is the healing. So, yeah, I'm left with my baby. I remember seeing my baby's head so big. Yeah, I remember staggering while going to the toilet, and I'm like, how will I manage alone? But I did, because they had to go home. The next day, the surgeon wasn't there, and so I had to stay in the hospital, but they had to dress me. Here comes the dressing. Oh, my gosh. They don't seal that wound, you know that, and you remain with an open wound, and that open wound is as deep as your index finger, even double the size of your index finger. That's how deep it is. And now what's supposed to happen is the flesh is supposed to grow from there. Fresh flesh. Yes, you can see. But me, I refuse to look. The people who so tell me, they tell me, my husband tells me it was as deep as a salt shaker. I wish I had it. Yeah, so I remember going for dressing immediately after that. It was, oh gosh, it was traumatic. It was traumatizing. they pour saline inside, and then they take a gauze, they wipe inside, now the wound, and then put a gauze inside, then dress you. So you're staying with a gauze. That gauze is there to absorb any more pus left. Yes, and now breastfeeding again was hard. And guess what? Milk also comes out from that hole. Yeah, so now I was released from hospital the next day. And I was told, now you go. Look for somewhere trustworthy, clean place where you'll be going for dressing daily. Until after 1 week, where now you'll be going on alternate days. So I went home, and now the sign law came. And I remember going for dressing with her for a whole week, and she was so supportive. I have to mention her. You know, she pinch my leg so that I don't feel, because the first week is also it's not easy. And you're being washed. I'm telling you, they're washing you like 3 times. And then they remove the gauze that was there first. Then they wash you, and then they put another clean gauze. Then they dress you. So the first week was, she offered me support. She pinch my legs, sing to me so that I don't, my mind does not, anything goes elsewhere. God is gracious, because I didn't have complications in my CS. But did, but yeah, of course, I'm still recovering in the normal ways where I can't overwork and all that. So I found a good hospital where it was near home. Mind you, you're also spending money daily. Yeah. So I went on like that. It became easier, but the most challenging part again was milk. From that wound. So whenever I'm breastfeeding my baby, I'd make sure I place him so that he doesn't get wet from the milk. Also, yes, that. So you had to go for the dressing, because if you don't go again, the milk, you know, when milk goes bad, it turns into bacteria. It used to be, and most of from that side will go through the wound. So the baby would mostly get full from one side. It's God that he's this big, because I didn't use formula at all. Me, I was like, no, because I have the milk, I'll continue. But now from this other side, milk will, now that's, I think it's creepy. I don't know. Milk just coming out all on the side.
The fact that she was able to breastfeed from the breast that went through the surgery was crazy to me. And that milk was coming out of the wound, that was even crazier. But her doctor gave her the go-ahead to breastfeed right after the surgery.
The surgeon told me I'm now good enough. I can now breastfeed him on that side. So the first week was hard, because there's a gauze there. You know, the gauze is inside and you can feel it when you touch. So I had to go for dressing until that hole closes up. It took 3 months. Yes. Yes, it took me 3 months for the hole to close. And that is what made me go for dressing for 3 months. Because as I said, I have an open, and the cajon is closing slowly, because they can't use medicine to make it close fast, because I'm breastfeeding. Yeah, so it took its time. And there's no way I'd stopped going for dressing while the milk is leaking. Because as long as the leaking, that means there's an opening, of which I told you I got an infection. I went to the hospital soon enough, and I was treated. And now after I was treated, now the hole closed up. The hole closed up, and finally, I now stopped going for dressing, and now everything is well. But I've learned what I've learned.
I want to thank Frida for taking the time to share her story with us. She is a baker, a content creator, and a mom to an 8-year-old girl and a 6-month-old baby boy. She really, really wanted to share her story and raise awareness about the dangers of ignoring breast engorgement. Some of the symptoms to look out for that could be a sign of an infection is shivering and severe pain from that breast. Please, please do not ignore the signs. If the idea of milk coming out of an open wound on your breast is not scary enough, I don't know what will be. Remember, we are having our first event of the year on February 1st. This is specifically tailored to co-parents. So if you're one or you know of one who might benefit from this session, please point them to the registration form in the show notes of this episode. If you'd like to support this show, the best way you can do that is to share this episode or any other that you enjoyed with a friend or two. If you want to take your support even further, consider making a monetary donation. Think about it like buying me a nice hot steak pie from Java to munch on as I head on over to produce these episodes and deliver them to you for free every single week. Every small bit helps. Next week, we join a mom on her journey of self-discovery. See you then. Bye.